thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here, my boy Will T. Ray Jeezy's out. What's going on, Will T?
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. I'm cold. Everything's copacetic on this end.
You know, I haven't heard from you in a minute, man. You know, on the show, I'm glad to have you back. You enjoying basketball season, my man?
Of course, man. That's why I was off the week of the 16th and the following week. Basketball's back.
This is your time, man. This is my time.
Everyone else isn't excited about basketball until after the NFL season, but me, I'm on it from the opening tip.
Ray and I talked about it last week. We get excited after the Christmas game.
Yeah, like, most people, that's hyped. When it becomes like national. It gets on a national radar because the Christmas games are such great matchups.
Yeah,
and there's like four of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it becomes on the national radar. But me, I'm on it right now. I was on it since October 16th, since the opening tip of the NBA season. Uh-huh. So I've just been enjoying basketball. And then, you know, this past week, we got a NBA pass was free. I don't know if you took advantage
of it. Oh, yeah. Dude, it's still free. I still have a couple more days left. Oh,
okay.
Oh, I'm actually, you know, since you know I'm a Lakers fan and I got to get, you know, this whole LeBron James experience, I think I'm gonna purchase the league pass.
Yeah, I think I'm going to purchase it too, but it won't be through my cable provider. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get another provider.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, man. They can I say it? Can I bash them? Well, Comcast.
You can, whatever. Just don't cut.
Comcast. You ripping people off out here, man. I've been a customer for a very long time, and I don't get any discounts or incentives.
Mm-hmm.
Killing me. I'm going to Verizon.
No, I get it. Isn't it a little cheaper? Isn't DirecTV cheaper, though?
I'm not a satellite guy. Okay. Just, a lot of people I talk to who've had DirecTV, who has satellite TV, whenever the weather's bad, their signal goes out.
Okay.
So I'm going with something that's
issue.
Consistent.
Yeah, that's always an issue. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We'll see how we do things, man.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, here are our topics. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins defeating the Dallas Cowboys 20-17. Felix Trammell, Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia's Redskins reporter will join us. At 8:20, we'll preview the Redskins-Giants game. At 8:30, we'll talk about the Washington Wizards' slow start to the season. Are you a big Scott Brooks fan? I meant to ask you. Are you? How big of a?
I think he's. To me, this is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good coaches are coaches that win in spite of the lack of talent.
Yeah.
Scott Brooks has always had talent.
Exactly. Agreed.
He hasn't been able to get that talent to have a laser focus for 82 games and play to the top of their potential outside of a couple years at OKC.
Mm-hmm.
So the verdict is still out as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm real iffy on him. At 8:40, editor-in-chief of NatGM.com, Ryan Sullivan, will join us to talk about the World Series between the LA Dodgers and the Boston Red Sox. And finally, at 8:50, we'll make our Week 8 NFL picks. Finally, at 9 p.m., we'll talk about Manny Pacquiao fighting Adrian Broner January 19th. I don't want to talk about that big time. Right now, we have Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia's Redskins reporter, Felix Trammell, on the line. What's good, Felix?
How you doing, man? What's going on?
Everything is gravy, my man. So we were at the game Sunday.
Not you. Be clear.
Yeah,
you and Felix were at the game.
Me and Felix were at the game, you know.
Media members.
Will T would say we're part of the media, right? I'm part of the media, right, Will T?
Absolutely.
You make me feel like a sellout.
I'm not making you feel like a sellout. I can't make you feel like anything.
I know, man. But when you say it, yeah, y'all part of the media. I feel like a sellout. But anyway, man. All right, so Sunday, the Skins defeated the Cowboys 20-17. What were your thoughts of the game, Felix?
The score wasn't indicative of how much the Redskins dominated that game.
Mm-hmm.
And both lines were the driving force of that game. And I think we saw the fruition of the Redskins' mental change and identity change from the previous season.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of seasons, we were always in shootout trying to score a point. trying to light up the NFL, which is kind of what the NFL is doing. We went back old school and built up our defensive line, got our offensive line healthy, and now we're dominating games in a totally different manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we saw come to fruition on Sunday. That is why we drafted Jonathan Allen last year and De'Ron Payne this year. It was for that game.
We saw
what they did.
Mm-hmm, no, and I agree. The play of the defensive line was impressive. They had four sacks. They held Zeke to 33 yards, I believe, with 15 carries. Kerrigan had two sacks. He had a forced fumble in that big play that Preston Smith scored that touchdown to put the Redskins up 20-10. And many folks thought that game was over. At that point in time when the Skins went up 20-10, did you think it was over? Did you think Dallas had another run in them?
Well, I thought it was over. And the Redskins defense precipitated them coming back. I think they got excited because they were, we're hitting that.
Mm-hmm.
And they started blitzing and just leaving the field wide open. And Dak started to use his legs well. But if they had played their regular defense and kept spying on Dak.
Yeah, agreed.
Cowboys don't score again.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, people that don't talk about this guy often, because he's always been like the offensive lineman to beat up on. But Sean LaValle, he came back from injury, and you can tell, to me, the offensive line was stabilized. Can you talk about his play?
Sean LaValle put Chase Roullier where he should be at center. And LaValle has always been a good run blocker. Mm-hmm. LaValle has taken a lot of heat here. He's not a good pass blocker. He's never been. So when we were trying to throw 45 times a game, he's not going to hold up. But run blocking, he was tremendous. There was one play, it was a toss play to Peterson to the left side, and he pulled and just obliterates the safety. And Peterson gets a 25-yard gain down the sideline. So LaValle coming in and looking healthy stabilized the line, which allowed us to run the ball and control the clock.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia's Redskins reporter Felix Trammell on the line. So Adrian Peterson, we can't speak enough about Adrian Peterson, but he had 24 carries for 99 yards. He is currently 10th in the NFL in rushing yards. Is it a good thing that the Skins' offensive identity is now running the football? I think you talked about it a little bit, but can you go more in detail with that?
Yeah, it meant the two things. Running the ball is safer. It's a safer offensive play than throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. Less bad things can happen running the ball. And when you can do it, it keeps your defense off the field and keeps their defense on the field. So your chance of giving up points becomes smaller. Your chance of controlling the clock becomes better. And then your chance of winning, you know, equally so, improves when you have a strong running game. So I think that Redskins are super fortunate to have gotten Adrian Peterson and him to be at that level that he is. But this is the offense how it's going to be envisioned. It just would have been with various guys instead of Adrian Peterson. But he's been tremendous. And each week is just impressive how he – and he's starting to get the system. He's starting to get the handoffs out of shotgun versus always being in eye formation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's building each week. So it's allowed the team to win and grow together and then cover up some injuries, because we wouldn't imagine winning games last season without Chris Thompson and Jameson Crowder,
mm-hmm.
and Paul Richardson this week, and Dotson last week. We wouldn't have won those games.
Mm-hmm. No, agreed. I totally agree. So I posed the same question on our Facebook page about the Redskins' identity, you know, running the football. We took comments on Facebook, and our Facebook page, Marcus Roberts said, you have to be able to run the ball to be successful, but you have to have balance. Do you feel that this team has balance?
It does. And what's happened is the passing offense has been caught up to the rushing offense. But what's good about the situation is we're winning while the passing offense is trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as much pressure on Smith and the receivers. Smith had a bad game Sunday. I've been a high Alex Smith supporter. I've seen what he's done. I've seen the work he's done in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's just putting it on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jay Gruden has always been able to scheme receivers open.
Yeah, I agree.
And so once his eyes connect to what he needs to see, his offense will only get better. But right now we lack, I don't think we truly lack the balance. We have just enough passing to match the rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we down the line, we'll want a little bit more passing just to put games away.
Uh-huh.
But right now, the balance is pretty good.
So Chris Carter said, yeah, I like it. Now we got to match the intensity of the defense and in game play to complete it. Sorry, Chris. I guess I agree to that point. The defense is played at a high level in terms of passion. I think you want to see that same output with the offense. But, you know, that's shown a little differently. Like on Sunday, we saw Dotson block, you know, down the field. We haven't seen that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
right.
I feel like when you have a guy like Adrian Peterson, he's injecting that type of confidence, that type of passion to the other players.
That's correct. And a lot of people look at stats, and in this fantasy world and the analytical world, we'll be looking at stats and numbers. But players do work harder for certain players.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith brought a business-like atmosphere. The defense has turned business-like.
Mm-hmm.
You can speak to the line. They're very serious. They don't talk much. They let the play on the field talk. DJ is the voice of the defense. He's playing at a high level, so everyone else has to listen. Alex Smith, it will be hold himself accountable, and so the other players are doing the same thing. Like, there was a play, and I don't know, I think it was in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Dotson had just caught a slant, got a first down, and on the next play, he blocked, and he took the cornerback, drove him 5 yards, and put him in the ground.
Yeah. I agree.
That's effort.
Yeah.
That we last season when it wasn't a pass, you could see how he lined up. You could see how he came off the ball.
Yeah. No, I agree. You didn't see that last season. You didn't see that from Dotson. You didn't see that type of effort in terms of run blocking. You didn't see that type of effort.
No.
So on Twitter, so there's another one on Twitter. Same question. This is on Twitter now. @TLive tweeted right now. But if a team stops our running game, we're doomed. Alex Smith is looking like Blake Bortles out there. We are the Jags from last year. Let me respond to that one first. One, we don't have the Jags defense from last year. That defense was still better than this defense. So that's one. Secondly,
that's right.
Bortles is a game manager. He turns the ball over. Alex does not turn the ball over. Even at his worst in terms of being a game manager, Alex is not a guy who turns the ball over. So you can't compare the two.
It's apples and oranges. Blake Bortles and Alex Smith, you mentioned in the same paragraph.
Yeah.
It looks bad. Mm-hmm. If there was two or three throws, he just completely missed. The sprinkle play on first down in the red zone, Dotson on the deep ball, Floyd on that deep out. But the mistakes he makes, the team can overcome them. The mistakes that Bortles makes, no matter what defense he has, the Jags, the 2000 Ravens, the 85 Bears,
yeah.
If you turn the ball over 3-4 times, you're giving offense a short field, you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what happened. It no matter how good your defense was, the Cowboy defense played well.
Yeah.
That's a top five defense.
Yeah, I believe they were fourth at the time.
That was a top five defense.
The fourth ranked defense before that game.
Yeah, so you're talking about the biggest stat, the 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys turned the ball over twice, the Redskins didn't.
No, that's
winning football.
It is. It sure is.
It may not be pretty at the moment, but the thing is, we can still improve, first of all, with a quarterback who's going to work hard, and second, with the schedule that allows us to grow.
Agreed. No, I agree.
So we know it looks ugly, and we're sitting there like, he was open, he missed his throw, but he's not putting the defense in bad situations. He's not putting his offense in bad situations, he's allowing the team to overcome.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's the thing about, speaking of Alex Smith, I agree when we're talking about Smith, that he doesn't put your defense in a bind. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he may not throw for like 400 yards, but he's not going to lose you the game. Yes, he may not win you the game, He may not be known as a guy to win you the game, but he's not going to lose you the game. And if you look at like football, traditionally football, if you have the style that the Washington Redskins have in terms of having longevity, in terms of having like consistent success, their brand of football wins games. Now, when I'm not talking about winning a Super Bowl, but it consistently gets you into the postseason. Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, they run the football, play great, solid defense, they're in the postseason every year. You saw with Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars, they were in the playoffs last season, had an opportunity to beat the New England Patriots. Even the San Francisco 49ers with Alex Smith did the same thing initially. Same with young Russell Wilson. You know, you're still a manager, but you had a solid run game, solid defense with the Seahawks. So you have that style of football will always win football games. I'm not saying winning the Super Bowl. I'm not even going that far. But it will always keep you in contention to play in December.
Right. And the defense and running games travel more than often. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest. There are very few quarterbacks who are going to go out there and carry you to a win.
Yeah.
Brady, we know, is one.
Aaron Rodgers,
we know, is another. Yeah. And all these other young guys are kind of just sprouting up. You know, we kept thinking there was times that we thought Stafford could do it. He can't do it. There was the minute when Carr was supposed to be the next one. He couldn't do it. 2 years ago, they talked about Dak as the future.
Yeah.
Dak is probably bottom five starting quarterback in his league.
Right now? Yeah.
It's at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment.
So it's very few quarterbacks that can just say, go win me the game. Just go win me the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have one of those three or four special guys, this is a system that works. Like, you just went down the line. All those teams you mentioned have been in Super Bowl, except the Jaguars. They were a quarter away.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, that old monster defense won a championship. I mean, we know we had that shootout last year. But the Vikings carried Case Keenum to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, because they allowed you. Yeah, because what happens is your defense allows you to take a little bit more risk. They allow you to be a little bit patient. You know, if you do a three and out, if you have a great defense on the other end, you're not really concerned about matching points with your opposition. You're playing more of a ball control team. You're more of a ball control team anyway, because 9 times out of 10, if you have a strong defense, you really have a nice strong running game. So it coincides. It works together because you're keeping another offense off the field and your defense is well rested. So, I mean, it just works out. The style of the Skins are trying to put out there, it works out into winning football games. So I don't really get all fixated with Alex Smith with his stats in terms of, you know, if he plays horrible, he's turned the ball over, that's an issue. But he's not turning the ball over. If he doesn't see it, he's not taking a risk. Yeah, you want him to play better. I'm not saying that he shouldn't play better. Missing wide open receivers or wide open tight ends or wide open running backs is not acceptable. But at the same time, he's not losing you a football game.
Right, and I want that whoever tweeted in to think of this. The last game, not the Cowboys, the Panthers game. The Panthers only had 3 drives in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
The Redskins possessed the ball and scored on 3 drives, and the Panthers couldn't catch up.
Yeah.
Literally, if you think about that, they had 3 possessions the entire second half.
Amazing.
That's what ball control gets you.
That's what it does get you. Hey, but Felix, we're about to go to break for our next time. Before I let you go, Felix, let our listeners know how to, you know, catch you on social media.
You can follow me at HTCR and Bless on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me on Facebook at Felix Tremell, my name, or on the 1340 website.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to me. You have questions. Always love to talk football. Love to talk X's and O's. So either one, Twitter, Instagram, just hit me up and let me know.
All right. Hey, Felix, and we're going to have you on much, much often, man. I love talking to you, my man.
All right. Well, you have a good one, man.
All right. Have a good one. Again, man, that's my man, Felix Tremell. Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia's Washington Redskins reporter. Felix does great work on the website, writes a bunch of interesting Skins articles. But now we know what time. Will, know what time it is? Excuse me.
No, what time is it?
It's time to talk about the Giants. You got to leave. You got to leave the Cowboy Week away. We got to go to the Giants. It's
Cowboy Week. That's what it was.
That was Cowboys Week.
Rivalry week.
Now we're going to preview the Giants, a team that used to dominate.
Another rival.
It used to, yeah, I know it's not as big as it used to be though. When
none
I was a kid,
it, none of it. Is,
oh man. Anyway, anyway, you listen to the Urban Sports say
for ages.
You did
deuces.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and Wally. Ray Jeezy's out. Sunday, the Skins travel to New York to take on the 1-6 Giants. Could this be a trap game for the Skins?
There's no such thing as a trap game in the NFL. 16 games, mm-hmm. Every game matters, especially division, a game in a division.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say because the Giants are 1-5, 1-6, mm-hmm. whatever their record is.
1-6.
1-6, that this is a game that you could easily look to the next week for next week's opponent. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, easily put the Giant, you know, put down the Giants as an easy win.
Yeah.
But upon further examination, the Giants have Saquon Barkley,
that's the
Odell
thing.
Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard.
And Ingram.
And Evan Ingram.
Yeah.
This is a team that has offensive weapons.
It's real. It's real.
And you're going against Washington, a team whose back four has struggled some.
Yeah.
Who's had some struggles.
Some struggles, yeah, in coverage. You're right.
Yeah, who's had
you're
some right. struggles
with communications,
in coverage.
With communication. And you're down. You don't know the status of Quentin Dunbar because he didn't play last week. And then you don't know the status of Fabian Moreau because he went down with an ankle injury. So, yeah, you know, they're definitely vulnerable because you don't want – I agree. You don't want to see Strowman, in my opinion, the young kid out of Virginia Tech, against somebody like matched up against Odell Beckham Jr. or even a Shepard, to be honest with you.
You can't approach this as a trap game. You got to come in focused and you have to know that we have an opportunity to – further our lead in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, because this is Washington, they'll probably blow the game.
Hey, look, folks would have thought that against the Cowboys, and they didn't. You know what I mean? So, they still have an opportunity. They have the opportunity to take a strong lead.
No, I think it's different because Cowboys, that was a home game.
Yeah.
That was a game that some people consider a rivalry game.
It's a rivalry. You know what it is. They were fighting throughout the whole thing.
There's no such things as rivalries in professional sports anymore.
Oh, because everybody likes each other?
Because everyone likes each other and everyone is making so much freaking money.
That's true.
No one has a disdain or hate. Now, and
not like
about 4 weeks.
Not like it used to be, but yeah.
Yeah, now 4 weeks.
When everything amps up?
No. In college football, when we see Ohio State
you
versus
know it.
Michigan,
yeah, do you see Ohio?
That is a rivalry.
You see Michigan versus Michigan State.
That was a rivalry.
That was real.
The closest thing that the NFL has to a rivalry is Ravens Steelers.
Yeah, agreed. No, Cincinnati Steelers. I think that's even worse than the Ravens Steelers because they're trying to hurt each other.
I think the Ravens and the Steelers genuinely don't. Like each other.
I think the
Steelers in Cincinnati, that's
dirty.
A hard-hitting physical game.
Yeah, and it's a dirty
game,
too.
Where there's some dirt, where there's some intention to hurt.
Yes.
So I think those are probably the closest things we see to rivalry games.
I get you.
In professional sports. But No, Trap, this is a game that Washington definitely should be on their heels about. They should definitely come in with a laser focus this week.
Mm-hmm.
Not anticipating an easy road win, with focus saying, hey, we need to distance ourselves from the pack.
You know, to me, I agree. So what do the Skins need to do to beat the Giants?
You need to make them one-dimensional.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Meaning you need to roll a safety over top of Odell.
Yeah. Saquon. What you going to do with Saquon?
And
the Saquon in that flat is scary.
Yeah, Saquon in the flat is scary, especially Saquon against, let's say, Mason Foster.
Oh, that's not fair.
If you get him matched up against Mason Foster on the edge,
that's not fair.
Yeah, but the thing about the Giants, they haven't had that pass rush mm-hmm. that they've had in previous seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's made that defense kind of scary,
mm-hmm.
or made that defense formidable. So. I'm not going to go out. I'm baffling with going back and forth for who I would pick for this game.
We'll do it later, though. That's what we do. Yeah, not now. He's going to pick yet. Okay. No, don't pick you. You to say that. Say that for our picks. You know, you got it. But no, you know what? You can say your pick. Go say your pick. I'll let you say your pick.
I'll go with Washington.
Well, okay, you go on the skin. You know, I always got the Skins, so I always got the Skins. I think Ray actually picked the Giants too. So yeah, but posed the same question on our Facebook page. James, God is not done with me. West said, play like they have been playing, and this is a game that the corners will get tested. Like to what Will said, Odell Beckham is playing, Shepard's playing. Their cornerbacks will be tested. George, our boy George, said, one, continue to lean on AP, Thompson, and Bibbs. So if Thompson is healthy, continue to lean on Thompson and AP. If not, AP and Bibbs. Second, contain Barkley as a receiver. If he gets in space on screens and flat passes, that's what worries me the most. Hit Eli early and often. I think you've seen that. If you hit Eli enough, you know, Eli's kind of shaky. My man Darian Williams said, be and stay aggressive, to quote my man Rick Doc Walker, crushed the windpipe. And George Brown said, just show up. That's it. It's okay. I don't think that's the case.
No,
but hey,
I think that's the case.
You shouldn't take this team that lightly. That's my issue.
Yeah,
this team is real.
This isn't a team that doesn't have talent.
Yeah.
Right? They have talent on both sides of the ball.
This team is real, folks. Skins fans, listen to me. Just because Eli isn't playing well, right? At the end of the day, I think we all can admit that if you put any quarterback that's playing decent football with that talent, they're going to score 30 points. I think the Giants only scored 30 points. They played. I think they scored 30 against the Carolina Panthers, I believe. Did they?
Yes, I believe so.
That's like the only game. But in terms of the weapons they have, they should score that often. So best believe.
But the one advantage that Washington does have over
that week on line.
Yes.
Yeah, they can take
D-line versus O-line.
Definitely. They can definitely take advantage of that. The Washington Wizards finally got a W last night against the Portland Trail Blazers, making them 1-2. We'll talk about their slow start to the season after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks, and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. You almost probably switch inside your DNA.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T. Ray Jeezy is out. Last night, the Washington Wizards beat the Portland Trail Blazers 125-124, making their record 1-2. Why such a slow start? And can you see them turning this whole thing around?
Anything is possible. Still 79 games left.
Yeah. Of course, it's early. It's very,
very, very, very early in the process. So, yes, I can see them turning things around. But a couple things concern me.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of defensive intensity, one.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of progression in certain players, i.e., Otto Porter, i.e., Kelly Oubre.
He was good last night. He was aggressive last night. I'm talking about Oubre. Oubre is very aggressive.
Yeah, but I need that consistent. I need that consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I need that passion displayed consistently. I need the evolution of their game being able to create shots for themselves and others more readily off the dribble.
Yeah. I just think that watching their sets, watching just a two-man game, just on the regular in terms of if, you know, Wall is running a two-man game with Marquise Morris on a, you know, high screen, Marquise picking out. I think Marquise had a great game last night, had 28 points, I believe, hit like six threes. But and also Bill doing the same thing. So both of those dudes being the primary ball handlers, I think they need more. They just need more motion. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to if you're in a playoff series, if the Wizards make the playoffs, right, and you're in a playoff series against this team, they're going to be easy. They're easy to defend. There is nothing complicated about what they're doing. No one, like the only one man is moving off the ball, and that's Otto, and he doesn't really get the ball like off screens like that.
That's true.
And so there's no movement on the backside. But go, I'm sorry.
But no, I apologize for cutting you off.
No, you're fine.
Most teams, they run the same set.
Oh, agreed.
You know,
agreed.
You're able to scout it specifically in a seven game series. Mm-hmm. You know tendencies, you know what sets they like to run,
yeah.
You know when they like to run it, you know with the point guards coming to down the right hand mm-hmm. side, the left hand side, what they're trying to do. But I guess the thing for me is, you know, the Wizards are all about pace and space.
Oh my God, we're going to talk about this. We can talk about this all day.
They're all about the pace and space.
Shooting
more threes, I guess, which is cool now. Because Dwight Howard's out.
Yeah.
But once you get him back in the fold,
yeah,
how does that change the game plan? What are you going to do differently?
This is my thing about the whole shooting more threes thing, right? It's not even about Dwight. It's that we both play basketball, right? It's either you can shoot it or you can't, right?
Uh-huh.
So if you're not good at it, right, why shoot it? You know what I mean? Like, why force yourself to shoot it? Like Scott Brooks is saying, like, I'm not talking about the good shooters. I'm talking about the so-so shooters. It's more like, hey, we want to shoot more threes. That's like the whole onus. We want to shoot more threes. Oh, it's cool for Bradley Beal to shoot more threes. He's a great shooter, right? He's a real good shooter. Otto Porter, yeah, you want him to shoot more threes. He's a good three-point shooter in terms of percentage. John Wall, that's not your game. Like, I don't need you for, like, if you got a set three, that's different. But I don't need you walk running into a three because that's not your game.
I get it. And I guess that's where I have a problem with some coaches when
yeah.
they have this, they make this very broad statement.
Analytical.
We need to shoot more. We want to shoot more threes. That's fine if you want to shoot more threes, but it should come with the caveat. We want to get our best shooters
to shoot
more
the three.
Threes.
Yeah.
We want to create sets and we want to
exactly.
create opportunities for
exactly.
our best shooters to get more 3-point, get more looks at behind the 3-point line. It shouldn't be one for all and all for
because
one type of statement where let's just chuck up more 3-pointers.
Because everybody isn't the Golden State Warriors. Everybody isn't the Houston Rockets. You know why Houston Rockets shoot a bunch of threes? Do you know why? Because they have shooters. Because everybody they have the way they built their team, right, is predominantly around shooters. Eric Gordon has always been a good shooter. Chris Paul has always been a good shooter. He may not shoot threes, but you know that Chris Paul can shoot the rock.
Yeah, Chris Paul is a guy that's going to shoot at least 40%
from the field. Like, all right. Harden is a good three-point shooter. He's been a decent three-point shooter, period. So these guys have always been good three-point shooters. I don't need to say anything about Golden State. We already know. Like, that's they're on a different level with shooting threes,
yeah.
right? So everybody's not them. So if you're John Wall, if you're John Wall, I mean, sorry, if you're the Washington Wizards and you're, when you're letting guys like Mahimi, I saw this in preseason, Mahimi shoot threes, I was like, this is a problem. This is a serious problem. And we're talking about, and then you're hearing word of Dwight Howard said, my game is going to change to be like Anthony Davis. When I heard that's when I said, you know what? Coach what you got, bruh. Coach what you got, and stop trying to make yourself into something else.
I laughed hard as hell when I heard that. Dwight Howard is a guy who's lacked a back to the basket offensive game for all of his career.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He has one move. He has no counter moves.
Of course.
So when he says that he's going to be like Anthony Davis and shoot threes, I laugh because this is a guy who hasn't been able to even develop a baseline jump shot like mm-hmm. Patrick Ewing had.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I put so on Twitter, I posed the question, how much blame does head coach Scott Brooks deserve for the Wizards slow start? My man Dennis Jones tweeted, Brooks honestly is not that good of a coach to begin with. I mean, schemes, rotations, he's challenged. His biggest fault now is his eyesight, because if you don't see everybody engagement last night instead of watching Wall dribble and they are daring him to shoot, what are you saying? Russ tweeted none. That means no blame for Scott Brooks. And Brian Mills tweeted, the guy who hired him, all the blame, 100%.
Now everyone started to get on my bandwagon.
Real talk,
now
though, on social media, Everyone hates Ernie, though.
Now, I was saying this like 4 years ago. Now everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon. Now I was a visionary. I saw it then. Now you guys are just starting to see it.
Hey, look, people on your side, man. Fire Ernie. That's the whole thing. But Ryan Sullivan from NatchGM.com will join us to talk about the World Series after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Up the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Sorry for the technical difficulties, y'all. I know it was a long break. We had issues in the studio, but now we back up. I mean, I had to talk baseball. You know, my man. I'm waiting on my man Ryan, but right now we have editor-in-chief for NatchGM.com, Ryan Sullivan, on the line. What's going on, Ryan?
What's shaking, guys? I mean, you got tech difficulties. Leave it at that. Yeah.
I know it was the worst. All of a sudden we're rolling, and all of a sudden just shuts down on us. It's just me because I told Will to leave because I didn't want him to wait so long. So it's just me. Ray wasn't here, so you're not gonna get that usual you and Ray banter. Ray was out the whole night, so it was just me and Will.
Mr. Tuesday night, back on U Street. I know how it goes.
You know how it is, right? Now, actually, he's doing a good. He's being a big time family guy. So I'll give him credit when credit's due. Like, he's being a big time family guy. All right, so
mm-hmm.
I see you don't believe me, Ryan. You don't believe me.
Mm-hmm. What's that old phrase? The leopard don't change his spots. What's that thing?
That is true, but you know, I'm gonna give him credit. I'm going to believe Ray. All right, so game one of the World Series is in progress. The Dodgers and the Boston Red Sox are tied at two. What is the main storyline to you in this matchup?
You know, the main storyline to me really comes down to, I think baseball pretty much got it right this year. I think we've got the two best teams in the World Series this year. I think the Red Sox are the best team in the AL, and I think the Dodgers are the best team in the National League. So, you know, I think that's probably the key headline. You've got a lot of others with, having minority managers on both sides. You've got, you know, Boston and L.A., big media markets. They haven't played in a World Series since, I think they said, 1916. Dave Roberts obviously was a key player in the 20 or 04 team when he stole that base, you know, to key the rally. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are so many storylines, just, and we haven't even gotten into the players involved. But, you know, I think the biggest storyline is, like I said, the kind of start is just, you know, Major League Baseball got it right. The best two teams are playing for the World Series.
I definitely agree. I think you do have the two best teams. I think this Red Sox team is stacked. When you look at their lineup in terms of professional hitters, I think you see stacked lineups in terms of power. When you look at this Red Sox team, you got J.D. Martinez, you have Mookie Betts, you have Devers, you have so many talented young guys in terms of hitters. In terms of defense, too, Jackie Bradley Jr., a guy who's a great center fielder. They have everything you want in a lineup.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, obviously, you know, you wish you had a little more power at the catcher spot, you know, but otherwise, that's a really, really strong game. And Benintendi's obviously a great hitter.
Awesome.
They're getting pretty nice production from Pierce and Moreland at first base as well. And obviously, Bogarts is a hell of a hitter as well. So. Yeah, no, they're a great lineup, and, you know, we haven't even talked about LA yet, and they've got, you know, Manny Machado and Max Muncy, and, I mean, they've got a great lineup, too, and they've got a great bench as well, and they can go lefty-righty against you, so... I mean, these are really two loaded teams.
Yeah, and right now the Boston Red Sox took the lead. They're 3-2 on the Dodgers. J.D. Martinez had an RBI double. You mentioned Manny Machado. That's a guy that, you know, like I love Manny Machado because I'm a Baltimore Orioles fan. We drafted a kid, saw the progression of him. You know, he's got some bad press because Manny plays with some type of edge. He plays a little edge, and at times he doesn't. He's a new generation athlete. He doesn't hustle all the time. But can you talk about how big of a series this is for the image of Manny Machado? We're talking about one of the guys, I call them the young gunners, the young ballers. When you come him, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Bryant, how big this World Series is for a guy like Manny Machado?
I think in terms of it really could put the spotlight on him. I think Manny, like you have pointed out, you know, playing in Baltimore all his career until, you know, July or what have you this year has really kind of kept him in a smaller media market and on some teams that weren't necessarily as good, you know, as they would have liked. So this is going to be a real opportunity for him to have the spotlight on him. He's the best player on the Dodgers. He's playing well coming into the series. You know, he's got the million-dollar smile. He certainly looks the part. He could, you know, he's one of the 10 best players in baseball. And if he really has a breakout series, I don't know that it'll help him necessarily financially in free agency this winter, but I think it'll certainly raise his profile and his Q rating, so to speak, wherever he goes.
They say, and you're speaking of his, you know, what his pending free agency, I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, they are believing that, you know, the whole talk of like Bryce and Manny getting maybe like $300 to $400 million, like baseball is going away from that, like overspending in that situation. Do you agree, or do you think they'll get that type of money when they're on the market?
I think the real superstars get their money.
Okay.
I think what we've seen in the free agent market the last year and the last couple of years is we've seen a depression of wages kind of at the, I don't know, the $2 million to $8 million, $9 million a year range, whatever we want to call that in professional sports, and professional baseball. We've seen some of that suppression except for in relief pitching. But otherwise, the top of the market, the guys are still getting their money. I mean, Hosmer still got big money at the end of the winter last year, and J.D. Martinez probably wished he could have gotten 6 years rather than five, but he still got $25 million a year. Strasburg got $25 million from the Nationals midseason, and Scherzer got $210 million. You know, so what I do think it'll be interesting to see is what kind of the top end of the Major League Baseball ceiling in terms of salary is going to be. I mean, what are these guys going to end up getting? Is it going to be $300? Is it going to be $400? $350? I mean, where is that kind of maximum going to be? So
back to the World Series. So what do you think this series will come down to? Like in terms of for the Boston Red Sox, for them to win, what would it come down to? For the Dodgers, for them to win this series, what would it come down to?
I think it's really going to come down to two things: getting runners in scoring position, knocking guys in when they get, you know, the opportunities, and bullpens. Both teams' bullpens have really good closers: Kenley Jansen and Craig Kimbrell. You know, Kimbrell's been a little shaky in the postseason, but both are two of the best at what they do. But some of the guys ahead of them are shaky, unproven, however we want to word it. And how those guys hold up is also going to be kind of the key to the series. So guys can knock in when they get an opportunity to score those runs, and whose bullpen basically holds up better is going to win the series.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have NatchGM.com's editor in chief, Ryan Sullivan, on the line. So Ryan, what I mean, I'm looking at this series. I'm looking at two, you know, strong teams, and obviously there are a couple pending free agents. Are there any possible Nationals on either of these teams next season?
I think really the only one that jumped out to me is probably Yasmani Grandal, the catcher for the Dodgers. I know he's had some problems this postseason catching the ball, but very strong regular season. I think he hit 24 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Switch hitter, 30, 31 years old, going to be a free agent, checks a lot of the boxes, and the Nationals obviously have a crying need for a starting catcher. So that seems like a, if not a natural fit, it certainly makes a lot of sense that you could see that match happen.
So I'm trying, maybe you can tell me, because I thought I swore I heard this, that Kershaw, this is possibly the last, you know, stint we're going to see Kershaw with the Dodgers. Is his contract up?
He's got one of those opt-outs that he can opt out, but he'd be leaving 2 years and $65 million on the table.
Okay.
And he's coming off, I mean, he's still Clayton Kershaw, but he's coming off not one of his better years. So there's some thinking that, you know, obviously he would beat that in free agency, but he certainly wouldn't beat that annual value, they don't believe. So there's a question. He could go to free agency, but I would think the speculation is that he may stay, but you never know. I mean, like I say, you know.
Because if he's on the market, you know, the Nats have always complained about, not complained, but a lot of pundits have complained about the Nats needing like another big gun in the pitching, in their rotation, having like a Strasburg, Scherzer, and Kershaw would be real scary.
It would be. I just don't know how you're going to fit that salary in under the payroll, but we can dream.
I know, right?
Although we talked last week that we thought, you know, we could get Bryce Harper in under the payroll, and
yeah,
I thought we could. So, you know, no reason you couldn't, but that would be a lot of money tied up in your starting rotation. I mean, you're talking $100, $110 million starting rotation at that point.
Shoot, not too long ago, I said that, you know, the Nats can go after Manny Machado and put him in the infield. I said that a while ago. I said in a trade. They should do it in a trade. But I don't think that's possible.
you know, if you can put Manny Machado on that team, do it. That's for sure. I mean, you know, move Trey Turner to second base and call it a day.
Mm-hmm. That was my plan. Like, move Trey Turner. Because at the time, I think I had an argument about a friend of mine. I was talking about Daniel Murphy and when he was on the roster. And I was saying that, well, no, you move Trey to second. You got Manny a shortstop. And, you know, it was Murphy's last year on the deal anyway. Yeah, why not make that play? That makes your infield is that more dangerous. It's a better defensive infield, and then you're more versatile in terms of your offensive bats.
Your lips to, you know, Mike Rizzo's ear. You know, I like the idea. I don't know that it's going to happen, but I will say I don't see a natural fit for Manny unless he stays in Los Angeles, which would make, you know, probably the most sense. Mm-hmm. But if not, you know, might make sense for him to come back to the East Coast.
That's what I was thinking. He's familiar with this area. Obviously, being in Baltimore, D.C. is not too far. So I was thinking that maybe Manny wouldn't want to be so far. He just wants to be in an area that would pay him, and he can kind of be marketed. And I think the Nationals would be still a good situation for him to be marketed at the level that he wants to be marketed at.
There's no question. I mean, I could see that as a fit. I mean, you got to move some things around, but you know, at that point, talent is talent. You move people around.
Yeah, I totally agree. So give me a prediction and why you think this team will win the World Series.
I think it's going to be Boston in six games.
Oh, great minds think alike.
I think that Boston's strengths are their right-handed hitting in their lineup with Martinez at bats and a couple of other guys that I'm blanking on at the moment. But they're just stacked with right-handed hitting, and I think that's going to be kind of the edge because the Dodgers have mostly strong left-handed starting pitching.
Wow.
But, you know, I could be back on it in 2 weeks and say, oh, man, it was the Dodgers, and they swept them in four, and they were great. So, I mean, these are two great teams, and it's really whoever has a couple of guys that get hot, maybe a pitcher that can come out of the bullpen and give them some innings is going to win this series.
Yeah, this is how I look at it. I'm rooting for the Dodgers, but just conventional thinking and just in terms of how deep the Red Sox are, I really can't see anybody beating the Red Sox. Like, even, like, I remember even thinking of the Astros series. Like, the Astros are a great team. Like, they're stacked, too. But the something about the Red Sox and consistency this whole year, they just played, they have been just so strong this season from point A to where we are right now in the season.
There's an argument to be said that the best four teams in the playoffs this year were in the American League.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree.
So, just to get 108 wins or whatever it was, and to get through the American League is quite a testament. And if they still have some juice in them, and if Cameron can still throw some bullets out of the bullpen, like you say, they're really hard to beat in a seven-game series.
Exactly.
But I don't want to take too much away from the Dodgers. I mean, they're a terrific team. They're the best team in the National League. Anytime you can run out Clayton Kershaw three times in a seven-game series, you can be really tough to beat.
No, agreed. So, Ryan, before I let you go, let our listeners know about NatchGM.com and also how they can, you know, catch you on social media.
Hey, I appreciate it. All the work starts NatchGM.com online, at NatchGM.com, spelled out on Twitter. I also do some work for 2080 Baseball, where you can find some scouting work and also some podcast work.
Awesome.
I also wrote for Maffin last year, if you want to go back into their archives and find my work from this year. But like I said, thank you for the invite. I always enjoy talking sports with you. I know Ray's ducking me. I understand it.
Ray's probably listening to this, too. He's probably listening, too.
But shout-out to the family, man, and thank you for the invite. I always have fun talking
sports. Oh, I appreciate you. Hopefully have you on next week, and especially at the right time. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties.
I understand. Believe me, as a solo podcaster, I understand how that stuff's not working. So I'm just glad it got working out.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Be well, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much. Again, that is Ryan Sullivan from NatchGM.com. He's the editor-in-chief of the website. So make sure you check it out. Ryan's a great guy. Really appreciate him. But it's time for a break. When we get back from break, I'm going to help call out our NFL picks. Our NFL Week 8 picks. You're listening to the Urban Sports Thing for ages. You dig? Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray are out. Will T was here earlier, but due to the technical difficulties, I told Will T to leave because I didn't feel like I wanted to be a good friend. I didn't feel like he had to stay here and wait while we went through the whole situation. But check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great show. They have great articles, so make sure you check out the website. They have a podcast as well, so check out their content. We are doing a weekly pick'em challenge with them every week. I'm going to try to get them on the show to put out their picks. That will be the goal for next week. I'm going to get the Football Garbage Time podcast on this show, and we're all going to say our picks on the urban sports scene. For week 7, Ray went 7-7. I went 10-4. Will T went 9-5. From the Football Garbage Time crew, Scott went 10-4. Hakun Wong went 11-3. Whoa. Ryan went 8-6. Yeah, Ryan, I did better than you, bruh. I did better than you, Ryan. And Joanne went 13-1. My homie George went 8-6. Here are our overall records within the urban sports scene. I'm in first place with a 62-43-2 record. Ray is in second place with a 60-45-2 record. Will T's in last place with an overall record of 57-48-2. Here, I'm going to give you, here are my picks. I got to kind of search out my picks. Here are my picks. The Texans over the Dolphins. The Jaguars over the Eagles. The Bears over the Jets. The Bengals over the Buccaneers. The Lions over the Seahawks. The Chiefs over the Broncos. The Redskins, you know it. I said that in the earlier segment, over the Giants. The Steelers over the Browns. the Panthers over the Ravens, the Colts over the Raiders, the Rams over the Packers, the Cardinals over the Niners, the Vikings over the Saints, and the Patriots over the Bills. Will T, the homie Will T, he sent me his picks. Will T's pick, he sent me his picks. Where did Will T put his picks at? Here you go. Will T's picks, he picked the Texans, the Jaguars, the Bears, the Bengals, the Seahawks, the Chiefs, the Skins, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Colts, the Rams, the Niners, the Vikings, and the Patriots. Ray Jeezy sent me his picks earlier, so here are Ray's picks. Ray has the Texans, the Eagles, the Bears, the Bengals, the Lions, the Chiefs, the Giants. The Giants in the upset over the Skins. Yes, upset to me. You know it's even in Vegas odds. The Steelers, the Ravens, the Raiders, the Rams, the Niners, the Vikings, and the New England Patriots. So there you have it. Stick with me, though. I'm in first place. Don't stick with them, though. Stick with me. I'm in first place. They're not. So, therefore, you have to listen to me. Manny Pacquiao versus Adrian Broner. We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For Aegis, you dig deuces.
And with the local DBC news, LLQJ with the triumphant comeback. For us, but tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering over the competition. I'm towering, wreck your shop. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that are all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. Don't you call this a regular jam. I'm gonna rock this land. I'm gonna take this city, bitty world by storm. And I'm just getting warm.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. You know what it is. I'm not here by myself. I'm gonna have my boy Will T on the line eventually. Ray Jeezy's out. I mentioned this. Adrian Broner, man. Adrian Broner, Manny Pacquiao, January 19th. Hold up. They got my man Will T on the line. Will T, you there?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
I got my man Will T. So, you know, I told the listeners that I told Will T to leave. Cause I didn't want him waiting till we got until we got everything situated. Now everything's situated. I told Will T just to call in. It's boxing. I need my man to talk boxing. Adrian Broner takes on Manny Pacquiao in a pay-per-view fight. Well, possibly a pay-per-view fight. Your thoughts on this potential fight?
It's definitely the ultimate crossroad fight Adrian Broner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Broner, every time he stepped up the level of competition, i.e. Marcus Maidana, Sean Porter, Mikey Garcia, he's come away with an L.
Yeah.
You know, Manny Pacquiao is a guy who looked good against Lucas Matisse, but, you know, coming off of the Joe Horn loss in Australia prior to the Matisse fight, a lot of people had questions about, should Manny Pacquiao hang it up?
Mm-hmm.
Does he still have that level of commitment because he's in the Congress in the Philippines?
Mm-hmm.
Does he have that explosive punching ability and that speed, you know, to throw awkward angles to make it a difficult fight for his opponents? It's definitely a fight that's, prototypical crossroad fight, but it should be a fight that should be very interesting because of the point that we're both boxers are at in their career.
So how big is it, he signed with Al Haymon. So Pacquiao's now with Al Haymon, I'm correct, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's with Al Haymon now.
Well, this is the thing.
He hasn't signed to Al Heyman. Al Heyman is his advisor.
Okay.
To Al Heyman, because of the Muhammad Ali Act, you can't manage and promote a boxer.
Got you.
So Al Heyman is his advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And then under the
PBC
Premier Boxing, PBC
mm-hmm.
Premier Boxing Championship banner that mm-hmm. Al Heyman owns.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the natural linkage everyone's going to link to is Pacquiao Mayweather, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in order for that fight to happen, first, Pacquiao has to look
amazing,
good against Adrian Broner,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he has to step up his level of competition and possibly fight, I don't know, a guy like Keith Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
And when that fight, if those two things happen, then you'll definitely hear a underbelly of the, not underbelly, but you'll hear a loud voice of the fans screaming, we want a potential rematch with Mayweather. It's just naturally, it's going to happen. I don't know if Mayweather is really serious about fighting Pacquiao, but, you know, if Pacquiao gets two impressive wins under his belt,
mm-hmm.
you'll definitely hear fans requesting that fight.
No, I'm with you. I think if Manny Pacquiao drops Broner, if he drops him, two knockouts, you know, just a dominating effort, right? I think we'll see the Pacquiao Mayweather 2 rematch. Because at the end of the day, right, still makes money, right? You get these two individuals still have their backing, they still have their fans. So in terms of the world of making big money within pay-per-views, I think that those two are still a draw, regardless of what people say, and they were so annoyed by the first fight.
Look, is it going to break pay-per-view records and do $4.6 million? No.
Mm-hmm.
But can that fight absolutely do $1 to $2 million? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if Manny Pacquiao comes back with two knockout victories against Adrian Broner and then maybe a guy like Keith One-Time Thumb.
Okay. So you think so?
Or Sean Porter. Sean Porter.
You think that Pacquiao, or just him knocking out, if he knocks out Broner, right? Excuse me. That's not good enough to fight Mayweather?
I still don't think that Pacquiao, the perception is he's not the fighter that he used to be, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He goes and knocks out Adrian Broner. Some people say that's a lucky fight.
Yeah.
Adrian Broner is a guy who, if he loses to Manny Pacquiao, will have lost to Mikey Garcia and then will have a draw to Jesse Vargas.
Mm-hmm.
So people use that to detract from his win.
Gotcha.
But if he goes in and he beats a guy like Sean Porter is a guy who comes forward and is aggressive, which is, we know in the past, Pacquiao has had success against those type of fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and Sean Porter is a welterweight champion. Yeah. You know.
See, that's interesting.
You'll see, Sean Porter is a WBC welterweight champion. Then people will say, okay, I want to see that fight again. The fight being him and Mayweather.
See, I was thinking, with Manny, that if he knocked out Broner, because that's just a fight that Floyd won, because it would have buzz right there and then. You know what I mean? More of an instant thing.
Yeah, but then people are going to, I'm telling you, you're going to hear people detracting from the victory saying, mm-hmm. well, he lost to Mikey Garcia and his last fight before Pacquiao was a tie with Jesse Barton.
That's true. I mean, it would be like Berto, right? Being like knocking out Berto. So, okay, so will this fight, because we're talking about pay-per-view buys, will this fight be bigger than Wilder Fury in terms of pay-per-view buys? And if so, is that a good thing for boxing?
In terms of what?
in terms of pay-per-view buys. So will this fight be bigger than...
I don't know if this is going to be a pay-per-view fight.
Well, Tyson...
I'm not 100%
sure. You're not sure? I mean, I know it's rumored. I'm not saying it will, but if it was, though. I'm saying if, hypothetically speaking, would it be bigger than Fury Wilder
in terms of pay-per-view? No, I don't think so. Fury and Wilder, that's heavyweight championship. Plus, you have the lineal heavyweight champion, okay, which is Tyson Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Deontay Wilder, mm-hmm, a guy with I think high 80% or 90% knockout rate.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have to take into consideration heavyweight boxing is still considered
the crumb.
Premium sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have two hard punching heavyweight boxers.
I just think that you get Pacquiao. I guess I'm off. Maybe I don't think the Pacquiao draw is. Maybe I still think the Pacquiao draw is big enough where it can beat Wilder and Fury. Because it's nothing against Wilder. I like Wilder actually. I just don't think Wilder's a draw right now at this time of his career. And his fight. And I think the big money for Wilder for like a big fight is only Anthony Joshua. I don't even think Fury has enough for me to get to have people even in the States. Maybe I'm thinking in the States to be in the States to think, okay, I'm gonna pay this amount of money to watch Fury versus Wilder. Am I wrong for thinking that, or maybe I'm overhyping Pacquiao's image?
I think you are greatly overestimating Manny Pacquiao's the perception and
okay
of him now.
Okay.
In the market.
Got you. I could be wrong. I just think I'm thinking an all-time great, and it's nothing against Wilder. I just think that when we think of the heavyweight division for pay-per-view buys, right? I just think that the only fight that people really want to see in that division is Wilder Joshua. I don't think people would pay top dollar, well, a high price. I'm gonna say a high price. Will pay in drones to see a Deontay Wilder. Fury fight, knowing that, you know, like a person like me who likes to see boxing fights are free anyway.
Well, I think you're underestimating the
Deontay,
the buy rate across the Atlantic Ocean.
Got you. Okay, I dig that. Then I respect that. That I do respect. I respect that response. You're referring to because of Tyson Fury, right?
Yes.
Got you. Okay, respect that. I definitely respect that. All right, well, T, we're gonna shut this show down, man. Appreciate you calling in, my man.
Oh, no problem, man. You know what I'm glad, man? You got the technical difficulties
look resolved. Yeah, and everything recorded, too. That's what makes everything perfect. Everything did record.
All right. What's up, man?
All right, Will T.
All right, bro. I'll see you next week.
All right, see you next week, man.
Later.
All right, we're about to end this show. Thank you for listening to the Urban Sports Thing. I appreciate everybody who stayed in and waited out and listened to the show, even though we was going through this issue with the equipment. But Will T would normally say this with me, but after I said it to the end. But you've been listening to the Urban Sports Thing for ages. You dig? Deuces. A Mega, lead us out, big homie.